You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? This is Chris Manning, your host of Locked On Cavaliers, here right after the Knicks and the Cavs have played in the first game of the season. We're going to do more with Jared Dubin, who you heard our collaboration podcast yesterday, for tomorrow, and it'll go up later today, like late tonight. But we're also just going to do a quick recap right now. Tomorrow will be a bigger show, some recap with Jared, then a mailbag, so that'll be pretty fun. But we're going to look at last night's game. It was a Cavs win, a 117-88 win in the season opener. And the Cavs, just generally speaking, had their way kind of with everything. LeBron was great. Had a triple-double, his first in a season opening game. He remains undefeated in ring nights. Kyrie had an 18-point third quarter, 29 points overall. Kevin Love looked pretty good, looked very happy last night. Very just a good night for the Cavs. The only bad thing is Iman Shumpert did leave the game. Hit his head. It looked like on Kristaps Porzingis' hip. Maybe something wrong. But Tyronn Lue at the postgame press conference did really come out and say, that Shump, he's not in the protocol yet. They don't really know what's wrong yet at that time. We probably get an update today or tomorrow. I believe they are fully off today. So tomorrow, Thursday, would be when we would get some sort of update on Iman Shumpert's status. So we'll get into him a little more in a second. So the way we're going to do these kind of game recaps are going to be just a quick little rundown of three little aspects so you know what this is going to sound like moving forward. First, player of the night. Then we'll do a highlight of the night, so the play that I enjoyed watching the most from last night, or the play that stood out the most, because not every play is going to be good, not every night is going to be best described by a good play. And then three takeaways. So I'll give you three things that really stood out to me from this game, whether it's, the offense, whether it's a defensive thing, whether it's just a mood thing or a quote from after the game. I will give you that. There will be some audio spliced in when it's appropriate during the season. That is not the case today, but you'll hear that from time to time. And so we're going to hop right into it. First off, player of the night is LeBron James. There's no other choice for this. LeBron could have not played last night, and I would have given him player of the night for the season opener. Last night, as much as it was the Cavs' night, as much as it was the city's night with the World Series game going right on next door, it was LeBron James' night. He was the one player to speak to the crowd. He was very excited. He was very worked up. And just, he was just reveling in this moment last night. Talked about it's Cleveland versus the world again, playing up that. Give everyone these incredibly complex handshakes, as he does. And then he just played really, really well. As I mentioned, a triple-double, 19 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds, had a nice block during the game, and he was just really a very, very strong version of LeBron James. This is a LeBron James that was not playing, so overly hard. He was not, maybe going full out like he maybe saw in the finals, but he was playing an effortless style of basketball. And I think the one thing that played into this is that the Cavs really did some things that they did in the finals last night and used them against the Knicks. For one, you saw them run Kyrie LeBron pick and rolls where LeBron would get iced on Rose, and that's a mismatch that the Cavs are going to take advantage of 10 out of 10 times. LeBron's going to go at him, he's going to get an easy shot inside, and he's going to do really well. But just in general, they're getting in these positions where the Knicks didn't really have a good way to defend the Cavs. LeBron was getting clean runs at the rim. The Cavs were getting a lot of open threes. And everything they did last night really was indicative of an offense that weren't trying too hard. They weren't trying to do too much or create too much. It looked more effortless, I thought, that we've seen in past on first watch of this game. And they were playing a style that I think was just setting them up to do these little things well and setting them up to do just everything well. And LeBron was at the forefront of that. He was masterful last night, just great. Wanted to get his triple-double, stayed in, got his last rebound, and got two rebounds, how it worked out, and then got out, sat for the rest of the game as the bench finished out. And what was a blowout win. But that was LeBron's night. He spoke. He got to get that ring in Cleveland. He got to he's watched the World Series a little bit after the game, got excited about Andrew Miller just like the rest of the city. And just he was just great on the floor last night. You can find his highlight videos on YouTube already. You can go and find just a cut of everything he did last night. You'll be blown away. It was just one of the most fun LeBron games to start the year that we've seen. It was just, in general, just a very fun LeBron game. And if that LeBron is there for most of the season, the Cavs are going to be great. I mean, they're going to be great anyway, but that LeBron where he's doing a little bit of everything, Kyrie, who I'm not even going to necessarily straight up cover in this takeaways, had an 18-point third quarter. Kevin Love really good. The only two guys that kind of struggled were JR, who took a couple bad shots, and Shump, who ended up leaving and wasn't really great as the backup point guard before that. But just a really great night from LeBron. If he plays like that, that like 70% of the time in these games this year, the Cavs might just, you know, they'll be great, and they'll should cruise to the East if he's playing at that level all the time. You know, you can't always expect him to do that. You got to expect him to temper it, and this was a special night, but just a great performance from LeBron. Just a reminder of how well-rounded he is, how good he really is. And it was a very tone-setting, it felt like a tone-setting win and performance from him in the opening night of the season. Second takeaway is going to look at ring night as a whole. So this was just a special moment. It wasn't, you know, something that lasted. It didn't last as long as I maybe thought it would. But the Cavs' in-game ops staff did a really nice job of presenting the finals. They showed a ton of highlights, showed the loss in game one, showed some of the other struggles, saw them down 3-1. And then they showed the highlights of Game 7. They had the block, then Kyrie shot, and then Kevin Love stop on Steph Curry. And it was just a really, really fun moment. I mean, the crowd standing outside in the middle bowl and just kind of standing in front of some seats and behind some seats as I'm watching this, you saw people cheering for in-game ops people they've never seen. They're cheering for assistant coaches that they may not have known existed 10 minutes before that. Jordan McRae gets a huge pop. Channing Frye gets this huge pop. Even they got the guys that aren't on the team anymore, so Delly, Mozgov, technically Mo Williams, who is technically on the roster, but it's very clear that he's not going to be back, you know, get these huge pops from the crowd, and that was a very cool thing to see. The crowd was just so into this. Kevin Love gets a huge pop. Kyrie got the second biggest pop behind LeBron. And then LeBron, obviously, everything LeBron did last night in that ring ceremony just got him these huge ovations. And it was just a spectacular, scene. You know, they played We Are the Champions twice. They played the Kanye West Posse Cut Champions. I didn't play Quavo's verse, unfortunately, but they played that. And everything they did was just kind of reinforcing the fact they're champions. You had Adam Silver there, the rings. Look at every guy just got really excited. I mean, the one that's down there is when Amon Shumpert goes to get his ring. He goes down the line. He's high fiving, giving handshakes to everyone. They're orchestrated handshakes, and him and J.R. Smith kind of just like they're shoving each other a little bit. They're like getting really excited, and it was almost as if their time in New York. They're like, we made it, man. Like they just in that moment, they were like, holy crap, we really got here. After where we were, after how people viewed us, and that was just a release for them. That was really, really cool to see. That was a very, very, just a special night. It's something like that. Like you, when you cover sports and you want to be a sports reporter, there is nothing really more kind of interesting than watching how people react to those moments. Like, yes, the games matter, the scores matter, the little nuances of plays and pick and rolls and all these things really matter. And they're really fun to break down. And I don't think there's anything quite as cool as just seeing people happy like that. That's something that makes them so happy that we, as journalists, get the opportunity to tell stories like that. That's really cool. They get to be there for those moments and see how those guys react when they're experiencing the thing that their professional lives are really based around. And then doubling the fact that it's in a city that is going to appreciate them to the highest degree because they broke the 52-year curse and all that. And by the way, if you haven't seen this, the rings, they're really cool. Got to see one up in person. It looks really, really cool. You can actually buy replicas or something like that at K Jewelers, so if that's your thing. But there, on the bottom, there's these rubies. I think they're rubies. I might get the stone wrong, so don't quote me on that. But it represents each game. And someone pointed out that Kevin Love was laughing when he looked at it. And Darren Rovell from ESPN, we'll have us post on this butt for the sword today at some point. But there's these rubies, and there's the Cavs ones are maroon or a wine color. They're the wine and gold. And they're edge shots, so there's a little 3-1 joke, as I'm sure if you're on Twitter, you've heard. That is right there, making fun of the Warriors blowing a 3-1 lead right on the ring. It's pretty great. The Warriors have these yellowy, whitish stones, and then the Cavs have the maroon ones that spell out the 3-1 lead in stone form. It's pretty great. Pretty, pretty great. Lastly, we'll get him on Shumpert. He was not the best version of himself last night. He was the backup point guard, obviously, because Cave Felder was out with an injury, because Cave Felder also has a concussion. And Felder was there in a suit, but didn't suit up or actually get the suit up. We only got there an hour before the game. I remember I was in the tunnel an hour before the ceremony, and then he walked in, kind of already in dress clothes. And understandably, he doesn't need to be there that early if he's not going to play. You look at Shumpert, though, not what you would hope. We always make fun of him on Twitter a little bit for when he dribbles, it goes bad, and that was certainly the case. I said he had a couple good moments, but him putting the ball on the floor resulted in some turnovers, resulted in some kind of wasted possessions a little bit, and not necessarily the type of game you would hope to get out of Shumpert if he's going to get the role. He's talked about wanting to play point guard. He played it before, but that's not if it was indicative of anything. Was not the kind of night you'd hope to see out of him. If there was anything disappointing about last time, it was Shumpert's play. Pariah looked pretty good. Birdman played really good. Love had 23. And everyone else generally played pretty, pretty well last night. Everyone scored except Tristan Thompson. And Thompson finished with, 6 boards and, had a plus 17 in 22 minutes. So not an awful night by any means for Tristan Thompson. But Shump, if you're looking at something that you want to see how it plays out moving forward, I think Shump's what you'd look at. 14 minutes for him, 1 of 3 from the field, 0-1 from 3, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, sorry, 2 and 2 turnovers, 2 personal fouls, minus 5 plus minus, 2 points overall. Not his best night. And then obviously he hits a head on Porzingis' hip, leaves the game, didn't come back, didn't see him after the game at all. Someone may have caught up to him, but I did not see him, and he's not quite in the protocol yet, per Tyronn Lue. So we'll have to see exactly what happens with him. And if he does have a concussion protocol, and that gets established today or tomorrow, I it wouldn't be likely that he would play Friday against Toronto, or maybe even Saturday against Orlando. And that brings up some interesting things, because it's early in the season, so it really doesn't matter that much. Because you would think that, and concussions can be more serious, but until you hear that they are going to be a longer thing, a la what Will Trapp with the Columbus Crew, he was out for quite a long time. I think he missed 4 months with that injury, because it just the symptoms wouldn't go away. If it ends up being that bad, which I would guess it's maybe not, I feel like it would be more worry, but we'll have to see. Sean probably won't play Saturday and Friday if he has a concussion. Would be my guess. And that would mean that the Cavs kind of don't have a backup point guard if Felder can't play. That means Jordan McRae is probably playing that role. And again, regular season, early in it, does not matter quite that much. But it's just worth noting that this kind of shows that Cavs probably do need to get a point guard of some kind. At least maybe this is expedited out if they're going to make a move or something like that. But I would guess no. I would guess that they'll be patient with it. That is kind of the more rational approach to this, in my opinion. So we'll wrap this up. The highlight of the night, for me, there were a lot of really cool things last night. You saw Jim Brown, the icon Jim Brown walking around. CBI star Bow Wow was there. It was Khalifa's there. Khloe Kardashian, because she's dating Tristan, was there. It was a very cool night in Cleveland. The World Series obviously going on next door. You had people, when I took the train home, you had people talking. I got out of there before the Indians game was over. So I get to the train, and people are talking to each other, cheering, OHIO on the train, because that's what people do in Cleveland when they've had a couple drinks and they're enjoying themselves after a game. And they were just so engrossed in everything that was going on. That was really cool. That in its own right was a highlight. But in terms of an actual play, 1 minute and 55 seconds into the game, LeBron is on the elbow, on the right elbow, if I'm not mistaken, and he throws a ridiculous no-look bounce pass to J.R. Smith, who dunks. It's not even 2 minutes into the season, and LeBron is just already dropping absurd dimes. He's already just doing these making these passes that you're just like, how the heck is this dude doing this? It was just quite insane that he did it that early, and it's like, oh, okay, LeBron's here to go. And then he had so many other great moments. He had some dunks. He had a really nice block later in the game. Where he like basically hit Channing Frye with the ball, so where the Bleacher Report made a video where like Frye shrunk like a mushroom from Mario or something, which is pretty funny. Kyrie had this shot where he was like trapped in the corner by Porzingis, and Porzingis, who's 7'3" and the longest dude I've ever seen up in person, was like, you know, guarding him pretty well, and Kyrie just had a shot over him like it was nothing. And then you had, you know, Kevin Love cooked Porzingis off the dribble at one point. There's a lot of really fun moments, but that LeBron pass to me really set a fun tone, set a fun example of what was to come on Tuesday night. And it was just, I love really great passes. Like, we've seen so many great LeBron dunks, and those blocks are great and everything like that. But I love just great LeBron passes. They're so fun to watch. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Again, quick recap show, just a quick solo podcast to get you guys caught up on last night's game. As the season gets going a little bit more, we'll maybe go a little more in depth on these. As this game's getting more serious, and if certain game was it certainly has a certain magnitude, we'll go longer. Like for this, we talked about the ring ceremony. We're not going to always talk about some of the atmospheres of the games as much, unless you know it warrants it. But we'll do a little bit more on this game because there is no game until Friday. We'll talk with Jared Duman, and that'll be up later tonight, probably about 10 o'clock, and then you can check it out tomorrow. It'll be in conjunction with a mailbag podcast. That I'll be doing Thursday, and then Friday, again, we'll be previewing the Raptors and Magic games with Sean Woodley and Philip Rossman-Reich, the hosts of Locked On Raptors and Locked On Magic, respectively. If you aren't already, please go find the show on iTunes, or give us a 5-star rating, and give us a review. I'll be reading a review on Thursday's show, so maybe if you want to do that, I'll get it in, and I will read that on live, give you guys a shout-out on the show. And thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great start. I hope you enjoyed the game last night. It was a very cool experience if you were there. If you were there, drop me an email and just tell me what it was like, and I'll maybe read one of those on the air too. Just if you were at the game, or if you were in downtown at all at the Indians game, and you just want to say, this is what it was like being in the city for me as a fan last night, drop me an email to lockedoncavs@gmail.com, and I'll maybe read it on the air on Thursday's show. And if you still have mailbag questions, drop them to LockedOnCavs on Twitter or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com, or drop them on our Facebook page at LockedOnCavs, which you can just find by searching LockedOnCavs or typing in at LockedOnCavs into the search menu. So thanks again, guys. Hope you enjoyed this. Let me know if there's other parts of the game you'd like to hear covered. There's definitely more that we could do with these, but I would love to hear what you have to say about these. So thanks for listening. This has been Chris Manning. This has been Locked On Cavs. We'll talk to you later. Motherfucker,